Yeah. This sermon actually was prepared about 1.5 years ago. 1.5 years ago. I had this research done on colors and colors in the Bible, and I never had a chance to preach it. So when I was told to share on Mother's Day, I thought that this would be the right message, because when you talk about ladies, you inevitably talk about colors and fashion. Just take a look around and you will know what we're talking about tonight. Now, we have to be balanced as we look into that. Remember that I got to protect myself before I share. Before I go into that area, I want you to understand that we know the balance between spirit and soul and body. And we know what the Bible says in 1 Peter, how that women should adorn themselves not with outward things, etc., but with the inward spirit of the heart, purity of the heart, the meekness of the spirit. We know the word. But that verse does not exclude adornment. It just makes the priority different, right? And if you ever interpret that to say that women should not adorn themselves, then you would be saying that women should not wear clothes, which is worse. We should, of course, not be true, right? Thank you for the silent amen. But remember that the Bible is just giving its context to emphasize what is important. As we all know that a little godly exercise profit unto all things. Yet it doesn't mean that we don't exercise. We don't go for walks, we don't go for a run or something like that. It just means that there is a balance. And we also realize in Matthew 6 that Jesus says that life consists more than eating and drinking and what we wear and what we use, etc. We understand the context on spirituality. And I think if there's any emphasis on spirituality, that we would emphasize it a lot. But yet we are balanced. We understand the other side, the other aspects of colors. And I've done quite a lot of research in that area. And in the world, you will notice that there are many things said about colors, about fashions, about adornment. And we wonder what the Bible says. So before we look into that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this time to look into your word, to consider an aspect of the word in which you have hidden your truth and your expression. We ask, O God, that tonight your spirit will enlighten us and give us an understanding, that we will grow in maturity, not only of things in the spirit, but of things in the natural. And we promise that in all things we will give you the glory, the worship, and the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. First, let me present the research from the world, taken from Encyclopedia Britannica and several correspondents that I have with them on colors, just to let you know what the world says, then we let you know what the Bible says, and then we let you do what you want to do. Right. So, here is some interesting research that I come across on colors. There are some statements here, I'm not going to read all of them, the most important ones, some statements here by Leonardo da Vinci, and it was one important research that I came across, and it talks about how colors, when I talk about colors, we talk about red, white, blue, green, etc., all the various colors, how colors affect people. That's natural research. Afterward, we'll look at the Bible, okay, step at a time. Let me read some important statements. It says here basically that the colors have an influence and an effect on certain people, and it makes some statements how people evaluate or put meaning or emotional or psychological value to certain colors. It influences them without them realizing it. It's like I say, music is another language, color is another language. If there's no language, there wouldn't be artists today. Colors are another language in themselves, just like music is another language, just like words is a different realm of language, and there are different languages. that we are using. And here it says, there are such a thing as warm and cool colors, right? There are a lot of things in the natural. But why is it such a bad? It's so that from there we could show you what the Bible says. See, once in a while you have a newspaper article that comes out and says, this color is like that, this color is like that. And then within the next month you have another article, interesting, that may say, this color is like this and this color is like that, and they change all the time. Just like the things of the world, the interpretation of the world, it changes all the time. The interpretation of what color means changes all the time. There are some changes, but yet there are some areas that are solidly defined in the world. So here it says, there are warm and cool colors, and like for example, yellow, right? Anybody wearing yellow today? Right? You just wave your hand, you wear yellow. If your visitor here too shy, never mind, put on your hand. Are you regular here? Just wave your hand. Yellow, alright? Yellow, orange, and red are warm colors, right? So if you're feeling very warm right now sitting next to a yellow or red person, change your seat to someone sitting blue or wearing blue. Now, it says, then the other colors, blue, green, and purple, are usually denoted as cool colors. Wow. Now we know where Susan stands. Right. And before y'all do all the booing and the wooing, let me finish the sermon. And you can continue the discussion outside the church. It says here, the colors also have attributed to them, not only warm and cool, but active and passive. Active and passive. Static or dynamic. All these expressions are given to colors. And it says, there are every color, like pastel colors, heavy colors, like black, dark, rusty brown, fierce colors belong to you. Sedate colors, cool, calm, authoritative, somewhat heavier and darker. And what is it saying here? That, like, for example, black, gray, dark brown, all these you find that the elderly and all these favor. But bright colors, psychedelic colors, and phosphorescent, you know, this, the young prefer. So what happens if you have a 90-year-old man who wears psychedelic colors? He's young at heart. Now, there is what I call the balance. There's what I call the norm and the exception. See, all things are exceptions. We're talking about the norm first. But here's an interesting research that was done, and an observation that is done. Scientists have fixed up all kinds of instruments to a person, to their eyeballs, to their nervous system, to their sweat glands, to detect what response human beings will have to different colors. There are individual responses, but there are corporate responses or group responses that are quite generalized. These are some of the responses. Variations in the number of impacts upon the eye, the colors, effect the muscular, the mental, the nervous activity. Wow, when you think about it, colors affect the emotions, the mental, and the nervous area. And it says, for example, tests have shown that under ordinary light, muscular activity is about, here is a scientific unit, 23 empirical units. It advances slightly upward under blue light. Right? This is white light, daylight. Green, excuse me here, increases it a little more, muscular activity. Yellow light raises it to 30 units. Right, these are scientific research. subject a person to a given color for as little as 5 minutes, and his mental as well as his muscular activity changes. Wow. This is research. Now, here's something that actually happened, taken from an incident. In a certain factory, right? It's a certain factory where scientists tested it. In the factory cafeteria, there was air conditioning. And the walls were blue in color. Right? Imagine a factory, right? This is quite easy to imagine because the whole place is blue. And the whole factory has a bluish color and background. And then after you hear this sermon, some of you begin to go back and have a good look at your office. But the whole place was blue in color, and the temperature on the thermostat, which does not lie, was set at 72 degrees Fahrenheit. The employees felt so cold that they even wear coats during their lunch break. And finally, they turned the thermostat up to 75 degrees Fahrenheit. When they turned it up to 75 degrees Fahrenheit, the employees were still shivering and cold. Finally, they decided to repaint the place. And so the consultant came and painted the place orangey. And then immediately, even though the thermostat remained the same at 75 degrees, all the employees complained it was too warm. So tonight when you feel cold, it's partly the temperature, it's partly the color. And so, they turned the thermostat back down to 72 degrees Fahrenheit, which was the original, which was low. And then all the employees felt, alright. Think about this. The impact the colors have on their muscles, their nervous system, and on their body. And when I research the Bible, I find that God is interested in colors. Now, here is another actual case that was tested. In a factory where there are many boxes, and employees have to carry the boxes. And this is a basic psychological effect of colors. The average person, of course they are non-average person, judges a dark colored object to be heavier than a light colored one. When something is dark and black, it looks heavier psychologically than when it is light colored. A test was done in a factory. In a certain factory, the pipes that were being produced were packed in black metal boxes. And all the employees carrying those boxes complained that it was too heavy and they strained their backs. Then when the foreman had the same boxes repainted into green, all the workers commented how light the new box was. They haven't actually done anything, they only repainted it. The reason I give you all these things is to show how powerfully, in the natural world, colors affect people's lives. And black has a very dreary and a very negative impression sometimes, right? We'll talk about the positive afterwards. In London, it says here, there was a bridge called the Blackfriars Bridge. And it says it was famous for many suicides. One day, That bridge was painted green again. The suicide declined by one third. Amazing. What colors do the people? And I see in Singapore, most of the people live in HDB flats. And I look at those HDB flats, it's very. Some of the new ones, like those near Tangi area, I mean, they were lovely looking things. Very look like German and English HDB flats. It brightens the place. It gives us a psychological effect on the human being. And, well, there are other little pieces of research here, but let me go to the animals. They tested the colors on animals. And here is an important area that people may not realize that affects them all the time. They exposed three types of species. Fish, birds, and animals to different colors. And this was the effect. Let's talk about the fish first. They placed a tank of fish under different types of light, right? And they found there were some that were placed under bluish light, some under pinkish light, and some under normal light. These were the results. The lights were turned on by automatic time clock for 14 hours each day. It says, those under the pinkish and the bluish light, immediately, all, this is a guppy fish, immediately, all reproduction in the aquarium stopped. The fish turned infertile. And it says, now this type of research is not common to people on the street, right? It's all hidden in books, but average person in the street doesn't know the effect of many things. It says here, the light intensity was cut in half. And during this time, again, those under the wrong types of light, the fish didn't reproduce at all. But then under those white light, they resulted in 80% cool white light, 80% female, 20% male fish were produced. And the 20% male fish were all abnormal and retarded. This is an experiment done on fish. Now, let's look at birds. It says here that laying hens, chickens, and roosters were subjected to 12 hours daily periods of deep pink fluorescent light. Right? Some people here like pink. And they produced 122 eggs. Out of the 122 eggs, 121 were infertile. Think about the actual biological effect of life. All eggs from other hens and roosters under the same period of daylight were fertile. Can you imagine that? This kind of research, they won't release it. Now let's look at mammals. In an experiment where they were rearing mink for mink coat, mink fur, right, the mink, which is not so popular today with the environmental move. But here's the research done. This animal must have been related. It says the chinchilla, must be one of the mink, kept in outdoor cages under natural conditions, produced very even distribution of male and female offspring. And it's about 50% male, 50% female. These experiments were done over years. When the same parent were moved indoors under ordinary incandescent light,
the leeches all produced were male.
Amazing. All became male.
Then, when the lights were changed from daylight white to bluish incandescent bulb, the same animal, they haven't changed the animal, the same animal produced all blue. Excuse me, all blue.
They didn't explain my colors.
All females. Now, isn't that amazing? They all changed to females. Same parents. Is it some of the things that we don't realize affect us, like chemicals, food, preservative, and all this are affecting our life all the time. Chemicals, lights, artificial things, we don't realize how much of it. And a lot of times we spiritualize a problem without realizing there are physical causes that man has not researched into yet fully or identified. Then he says, other areas of analysis, but here's where it's interesting. Now, they have tested it on mice. For 2 years, a colony of mice numbering in excess of 1,000 animals had been kept under daylight white fluorescent light. Another part of the colony under pink fluorescent light, and still another part of the colony in the daylight which comes through a basement window. The part of the colony getting the light from outside produced 50% female and 50% male, while the part of the colony under daylight white fluorescent lamp bulb produced 70% female and 30% male. The colony under pink fluorescent light produced 30% female and 70% male. Now, we all realize that there are causes for people having girls and boys besides God, right? And I have done one research also on the sodium and potassium content of a person's diet. That affects the liquid in the uterus and cause a selection of different the XY sperm or XY sperm and different types of seed that is placed in the uterus. And it seems that there are natural causes too. Now, don't despair, because some of you are living under fluorescent light. This is all research done in the natural. And as we see here, what is the purpose of all this? See, sometimes when we know what we are up against, we know what to pray. If you don't know what we are up against, we don't know what to pray. See, there are certain causes that people have not identified, they have not realized it yet. And a lot of times they're rebuking the devil and they don't realize it's part of the so-called sophistication of mankind, that we are moving away and more further and further away from the simplicity of the life God wants us to live. And exposure to certain things are causing effects that we realize that are natural mutations rather than spiritual causes. Now, in all of this, we realize that colors and color expression is a part of maturity. If you look at what the world said about colors, they will tell you, you know, what kind of color will suit what kind of occasion, etc. And we realize that most of us, when we grow, there's no such school that that teaches about color appreciation. There's no school that teaches about that. There are music schools, but there are no color schools. And art schools do to a certain extent, but they are tinted by the things and the teachings from the world. And so we need to understand what the Bible says in light of that color. So let's look at the Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 28. And see how specific God was when he designed the priestly garments in the book of Exodus, chapter 28. In the book of Exodus 28, God says to them in verse 5, they shall take the gold and blue and purple and scarlet. Now there are four colors there. And fine linen, five, white. Right? So there are gold, blue, purple, red, and white. And they shall make the ephod of gold and blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine linen thread artistically woven. Here I just read a scripture to show you how specific God was when He chose the colors for the priest to wear. Then when it comes to the priest's other garments in chapter 28 of verse 31, you shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. So there is that we see that the priest, if you visualize him, have roughly a white color, and then there is a bluish ephod, and he have all these 12 precious stones, and then he have these stones on his shoulders, etc. You could see roughly what he looks like. It seems that God is interested in colors, and in fact our Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 4, let's look at the book of Revelation chapter 4, it says here, in the vision of God on the throne in verse 3, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. So apparently God's throne has colors. Behind God's throne was a rainbow, and we know a rainbow consists of all those seven colors. And as you look at colors and fashion and all these realms, and understanding the research that was done in the physical world, we realize here that if we really want to make sure, just as we are led by the Spirit in music, we don't go for all the rock songs or all the worldly music, we go for Christian music. So when we move into the area of what I call color maturity, we can be led by God in learning how to flow with God. See, colors are not necessarily expensive. We're not talking about dressing expensively. Right? Be a good steward. Dress economically. But we're talking about how the selection of colors can be led by the Spirit. Now, I don't mean that you have to fast 40 days and nights about what you have to wear. But I just think about how, until you have to make a choice anyway. Don't tell me when you go to tailor, you don't choose. Right? You just close your eyes, blindfold, and you know, ask somebody to lead you. Me, my name, anymore. No, none of us do it. When you go to the shops and you buy some clothing, you don't blindfold yourself and say, all right, me, my name, anymore. Right, this color, look at it. Ah! Right. No, all of you make a choice. Whether it was a $1 shirt, $2 shirt, a $10 shirt, $40 shirt, you make a choice in colors. And what I want to point to is that the colors in the Bible symbolize something. Now let me show you what the world says about colors and us, and what each color represents, and I'll express what God says about each color. Right. Now, of all the different colors and expressions, they have tested and they found that the favorite color of almost everybody, right, the majority, is blue and red. It's blue is what I call a safe color. Almost everybody likes it. Red. Third choice, green. Right. So, among infants, they tested it in the average. They found these are the colors among infants they like. Red, blue, white, green, brown. Among children, best choice, blue, red, yellow, green, white. Among college students, teenagers, blue, red, green, yellow, orange. Then, among adults, blue, red, green, right? Violet, orange. And it's interesting to note, when I saw this chart, it's interesting to see how blue and red just change places most of the time. And you ask the average person, is it blue? Generally, everybody can accept. Talk about red ones, great, to a certain extent. And the other colors come to personal choice and development. But I think blue and developing God, you realize that as God has a rainbow behind his throne, and colors came from God in the first place, they didn't come from the devil. But do you know that sometimes in those discos and all this, they're psychedelic colors? You know what's happening? The devil is perverting colors like he's perverting music. So here is what the world says, right? This is not what the Bible says. This is not what the world generally says. There are some things that look biblical and some things that not. The color yellow, right? Both negative and positive. Every color has negative and positive expressions, right? To the world, no. If you look at every book and fashion, and you go to a fashion school, art design school, they tell you what each one is. You go to different art design schools, and each one has slightly different interpretations. Now, you realize here that even the average person who is reasonably educated will know that a light color makes it spacious, right? You go to a room that is small, the art designer will put light colors inside. Why? It gives you a spacious feel. You put dark colors, it gives you a stuffy feeling. And so all these things happen, and it's so powerful, color usage is so powerful, that I have this article where this person was asked to color a bus. And he was to color the bus in such a way that when people step onto the bus, they will be drawn to sit at the back rather than in the front. And he did it very well. He made the back area so colorful and attractive and the front area so dull. And everybody who steps onto the bus naturally went right to the back. I tell you, we better know the color of new church premises. So we put the people who sit where we want them to sit. Now I have another article inside there that I didn't read to you, where there was what they call a coffee break place. You know, some workplaces, they have a water cooler or coffee place where they have a short tea break. Now when it was colored bluish, calm and cool, the workers love to hang around there, you know, have a coffee, chit-chat, chit-chat. The moment they change the color to orange, they take a short while and quickly go off. Now, they did another test where they took about, I think it was about 12 or 20 salesmen, and they put them in a conference room, remove all their watches, remove all time, and they had a conference inside. The whole room was colored blue. After many hours of meeting, after about 6 hours of meeting, they asked each one of them how long they thought the meeting was. All of them thought it was about 3 hours. Then the same group later was placed in a different room, which was colored orangey reddish, and they had a meeting. Even though it was about 2 to 3 hours, they all thought it was about 6 hours. So the next time you color your conference room, you better pray. Don't just say mini money, mini more. Right? These colors affect people's lives. I mean, think about it. The tests show that it affects muscular, nervous, and respiratory organs. Now here's what the world says about colors. So the next time you wear colors, some of you are wondering tonight, did I wear the right colors? I want you ahead of time, right? I'm going to preach in colors. Right. And don't worry too much about it, right? There's combinations and all that, right? So we're not going to give you an altar call to return for your colors. Or after the fashion show, right? We haven't looked at it yet. And this teaching will help you evaluate the fashion show. Now, so this is what the world says about the colors, right? Don't take it yet. This is not Bible truth yet. So don't take it yet. Just listen, right? And just analyze. And put it on the place where you analyze it, on your microscope, right? Don't put it into your heart yet. Now, here's what yellow sometimes symbolizes to the world. Cheerfulness, dishonesty, youth, light, hate, covetousness, joyousness, optimism, spring, and brightness. Red, action. Life, blood, fire, heat, passion, danger, right? All the Bahaya signs are always in red. Power, loyalty, bravery, anger, excitement. This is just the word, we haven't got the Bible yet. Blue, used to be my favorite color. Say, brother, why used to? Because now I don't have any favorite color. No. I like all colors and they all have their interpretation, as long as it matches, right? You will never find me with a yellow coat and a white polka dot tie. That's for clowns. I hope nobody is wearing that tonight, right? I have a talk with you in the room afterwards. Now, blue. Coldness. Serenity. Depression. Oh dear. Melancholy. And truth. Purity. Formality. Depth. Restraint. Orange. Harvest. Fall. Middle life. Tastiness. Abundance. Fire. Attention. Action. Right. Now, green. Immaturity. Hold it there. Now don't jump the conclusion yet. You spring, nature, envy, greed, jealousy, sinness, ignorance, right, vibrant. Okay? As good and as much. Violet. Violet is purple, violet. Dignity, royalty, sorrow, despair, richness, right? About 200 years ago, purple was very hard to get. And it was an expensive color. You read the history of colors. White, cleanliness, but they put here, fear. Doesn't apply to you, of course. Purity. Hey, good sickness. That's not all hospital bed lining our wife. I don't, this worldly interpretation, don't take it here, okay? This is the world, okay? This is not the Lord. This is the world. I have to give what the world says and give what God says, and we'll be balanced. Black. Mystery. Which is not to a certain extent. Plank. Mourning. Heaviness. Right? These are what the world says about colors. Now, I've done a research about what I think the Bible says about the colors. I'm not dogmatic about it, but they will be a good guide. Oh, let me use this for start. For example, there are primary colors, like yellow and red are related. And red or scarlet symbolize salvation. And it talks about vibe. There's no doubt it is a hot color, and that it talks about vibrant life. No, red is a color that God makes blood. So the scripture involves God says there's life in the blood, and I trace it also in the Bible. Now this is said about 1.5 years ago, and red symbolizes life, salvation, vibrant. But passion, you can put it in a way, right? But it's a hot color, it's full of life and vigor. And there's red. Yellow is what we could call a stunning color, right? Yellow symbolizes optimism, brightness that is there. Yellow is close to what we call golden. Golden, yellow and gold. Gold is yellowish. And so you notice that it's one of those colors inside the priest's garment. It symbolizes, if it points to gold, then it will symbolize purity. It will symbolize holiness. Silver symbolizes redemption, right? That is silver color. Then blue in the Bible symbolizes heavenly colors. It symbolizes being heavenly minded. And it's a color that is used in the Old Testament priest garment, right? To point that it is of the spirit and not of the world. It symbolizes heavenly mindedness. Orange will be related to yellow. It's a color of optimism, of joy, of vibrance. And oil, they pour the olive oil. These are all golden, yellow, orangey color. It is a sign of freshness and newness. Green is a sign of growth, and it's a sign of stability in the Bible. And it's a color that God made all the leaves to be. It's a color of growth. It's a color easy on the eyes. In my article here, there is a research done on students as they watch the transparency, as they watch certain things in the classes. And when they use black, most of the students fall asleep. Then when they change to a greenish color, about 40% more pass the exam. Right? They are still the same students because less of them fell asleep. And it is a color that is refreshing and it symbolizes growth and stability. Violet or purple, right? A crown of thorns. Purple symbolizes royalty, kingship, right? Jesus the King. That's a purplish color. White symbolizes in the Bible purity. In the book of Revelation, they have those people, you know, clothed in white robes. It symbolizes purity, freedom from sin. And black in the Bible symbolizes what you would call authoritative judgment. So it has its place. Black in the Bible. Now, as you look at all these various colors in the Bible, we realize that the colors a person should wear and should use in their life to express what is in them depends a lot on the profession of a person. For example, if you're a lawyer, and imagine you wear a white suit. Even if you wear dark pink shirt with a polka dot tie, a red tie with white polka dots, and a dark pink shirt and a white suit, with pure white shoes, you will never be taken seriously. Right? That is the color of a radio announcer or someone who is an MC or something. Right? It depends. A color expresses not only the type of work you do, but it expresses authority. When you're working as a lawyer, you need to express certain authority. And that is why you should go towards the darker colors. Black can be a bit too strong. If you're wearing black, you have to tone it down with another bright color. See, if you understand the scheme of colors and what they express, when you get those colors, like if you're wearing a dark black pant, then you don't wear, right, a black tie with a white shirt. You look like the Undertaker. No? So if you're wearing black, then you should balance it with a little bright color somewhere, and then it will sort of be a more balanced message. I mean, you don't put your food and put all the salt in, right? You put a little ginger of salt, a little ginger, a little this, a little that to make your food nice. Same with colors. Just like ladies, when you cook, you can be led by the Spirit. So when you wear colors, when you go into the fashion, and you can ask the Holy Spirit, after all, fashion begins in God. Fashion begins in God. So you can let God lead you. So when you're looking at dark colors, it is an expression of authority. And the darker it is, the more authoritative the impression it makes. And the lighter colors are what I call the playful colors. Right? You should balance it. Like too much of that side, you can't. Too much of this side, you know, you don't express yourself well enough in what you're doing. And so we need to be sensitive to all these things. And some people, when they match colors, they think that matching is just getting the same colors. No, it isn't. Matching is a message that you try to bring forth in your colors. Right? If matching is just combining colors, then any chance to do it, I mean a red here and a pink and a dark red, of course it will match. But if you wear a dark red jeans and a dark red boots and a pink shirt with a pink tie, no doubt you match. But we can't see you because we see red. Right? No, you can understand, it's not just matching. It's not just matching. It's an expression. In other words, when you're having that expression of the color, you see, red and black can go together. Right? One is bright and one is authoritative. Then it goes together. Pastel colors are the easiest to mix. They are very acceptable. And so it depends on your profession. For example, when you're wearing a red shirt, then you don't wear just because you got tie that is red in color, so it's red and red. No, it's going to look horrifying. It may be better to match it with a little grayish. See, matching is not just a key. The key to color coordination, as I see the Bible principle, the way God coordinated the colors. You notice what God did? He took five colors in Exodus 28 and he coordinated it all together. See, it's not just the making it the same color, but it's what we call matching mixed with contrast. If you have all matching, right? You dye your hair yellow. You have yellowish skin. Yellow shirt. Dark yellow tie. Yellow belt. Right? From Taekwondo. And dark yellow pants. Yellow shoes. You are matching. No doubt. Everybody is matching. Yes, we're matching. Right? Your shirt does match with your pants. But it's not just matching. It is contrast. Say contrast. Now, it is not just matching, neither is it directly contrast. You don't purposely take a dark blue shirt and then mix it with a fluorescent green tie, right? It's contrast, but true contrast. We need to wear sunglasses to look at you. So, color coordination, you must study color coordination in the Bible and notice what its colors represent. And just like God, it's a mixture of all the colors. It's a balance between matching and contrast. If it's all matching, there is no, what I call, expression. God didn't make the high priest wear all blue. He would have to sing the blues. Thank God he didn't, because he had to sing the glory of the Lord. But he had some blue inside. So God matches, yet at the same time God contrasts. So in coordinating colors, it's a coordination between contrast and matching. Not too contrast, otherwise we call it a mismatch. Not too matching, so that we say there's no expression. It's dull. But somewhere in between, and that's where it is the individual that brings it. Certain colors, because of the color of your skin, may go well with you. Certain colors may not. And not only that, it depends on your hairstyle. It depends on your face. It depends on your profession. Then it depends on your personal taste to a certain extent. And then also it depends on what general society views of it. I mean, a person who wears a very light colored shirt, a light colored suit, like say a lawyer, and goes into a certain profession, he won't be taken seriously. And there's a psychological impact. I'll show you how biological impact happens. So there's a psychological impact that happens also. And we need the guidance of the Spirit. You don't need to pray 40 days and 40 nights for this kind of thing. But you just need to be aware of it. Right? Just to be aware of it. Don't let it take too much of your time. So after you hear this sermon, tomorrow morning when you got up, you have to wake up at 3 a.m. to pray under 6 a.m. to decide what to say. No, don't go to the extreme. Right? Just like a little exercise profited a little, godliness profits to all things. And in the same way, a little color matching profits to some extent in impression, but godliness profited unto all things. We do need to be aware of these things so that we would not be said that we know not the devices of the enemy and all these things that are happening outside. You can see the biological influence of color. But we need to be aware of them so that as we walk in the Spirit, we will say, through the Spirit we learn about things of the spirit realm, the soul realm, and the natural realm. And flow along with God. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and we thank you for this time. And we ask, O God, that you cause us to grow in maturity to colors. We pray, O God, that you teach us the expression of your creation of colors, so that we grow in you, Lord, from grace to grace and glory to glory. So seal your grace upon your people, Father God, tonight, as they grow in you. And bless the mothers, bless the sisters here. O God, even as they grow in you, they are the expression of your glory that you made when you made Eve, O God.
So Father God, we pray that you give them an understanding, spiritual understanding in this realm of fashion and colors. They will grow strong in you and expressing you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Listen to the MC. God bless you. Praise God.